I mean, ultimately, it's to bring awareness and make people, you know, realize what's really going on in this country. There are a lot of things that are going on that are unjust. People aren't being held accountable for. And that's something that needs to change. That's something that, you know, this country stands for: freedom, liberty, justice for all. And it's not happening for all right now. You know, what's going on in this country in the past, what's going on currently, these aren't new situations. This isn't new ground. It's things that have gone on in this country for years and years and have never been addressed, and they need to be. Yes, I'll continue to sit. I'm going to continue to stand with the people that are being oppressed. To me, this is something that has to change. And when there's significant change, and I feel like that flag represents what it's supposed to represent, and this country is representing people the way that it's supposed to, I'll stand.
What comes to mind when I say the word thug? Comes to mind when I say the word thug, T-H-U-G. How about inner city? How about inner city? You hear that sometimes too. With respect to the word thug, Tupac Shakur did not do the community any favors by having the word thug life tattooed on his stomach. It was very prominent, and there's no shortage of respect for Tupac Shakur in either the urban or the hip-hop community. Tupac Shakur was, of course, a victim of an economic prison and decided to own it by having that tattooed on his stomach. How about the word ghetto? Or what comes to mind when you hear that? Or Oreo, right? That's another one. That was a big one when Obama was president, as if that's not supposed to be offensive. Try another one here. Uppity. How about when I say the word uppity? If you've gone through any of the kind of conditioning that I have gone through as both a member of the ghetto community, and I feel like I can call it that because I lived through it, or the community at large, if you have any of the same kind of conditioning that I do, the word or the kind of person that comes to mind when you hear these words is generally going to be African American. There are, of course, other phrases that get used. You people, shady, sketchy. Those are often used towards African Americans. But that kind of conditioning didn't just happen after you saw a movie, or after you heard a hip hop song, or after it was thrown around a couple dozen times down south. Those words are associated, and very closely associated, with the African American community, to me, and to you, through no small amount of conditioning. When you think of hip-hop music, which is a largely African-American music, and I subscribe to the DJ pools, and my DJ pools, if I'm not mistaken, the company that I'm with right now is out of Canada, but they have DJ pools custom-made for every country around the world. There's slight variations in charts all over the world. By and large, a lot of other countries listen to American music, but there are variations around the world. So the company's in Canada, but for the American charts, for the hip-hop music that I get from them on sometimes a daily basis, largely a monthly basis, they call it urban because that's the word that we have come to associate with African Americans. Now, the company that I subscribe for music through, they're not trying to be offensive when they say it, and they get to call it that without any sort of a rumble being caused. The reason we have these words associated with African Americans the way that they are is because this is one way that the masters of the universe, those that are in charge, and the conservative community, these are the things that they assert in order to get a civil war going between us. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Fire You Can't Put Out, episode number 221. I am with you this week. I do not know if I am with you next week because I am starting to calm down with the flu. Don't worry, you can't get it through the radio. I got the flu shot about a week ago, because influenza A showed up early, people already being hospitalized for it, but it seems like I may have gotten the shot a little too late. Whatever, it doesn't matter. But hey, if you're out there and you're within the sound of my voice, go get your damn flu shot. And it doesn't make you sick. Don't listen to all the conspiracy nuts. You're going to be fine. Just go get your freaking shot. Anyway, fire you can't put out. My name is Melvin. Thank you so much for being here.
There's a lot of things that need to change. One specifically is police brutality. There's people being murdered unjustly and not being held accountable. Cops are getting paid leave for killing people. That's not right. That's not right by anyone's standards.
Quoting here from the New York Daily News, just a few short seasons ago, the San Francisco 49ers were the perennial powerhouses of the NFL. They had what all successful teams needed to succeed in the league, a great head coach and a star quarterback. During the Jim Harbaugh, Colin Kaepernick era, the 49ers played in two NFC Championship games, one Super Bowl, and amassed a 31-16 record. But then the 49ers decided to move on from Harbaugh. He went to a college team. And we know what happened with Kaepernick. The 49ers do not have anywhere near a capable quarterback on their roster. And though I am not a 49ers fan, I know a few 49ers fans. And I feel like I can say that because, quoting here from the story, life has choices. How many teams would be better off with Colin Kaepernick as their quarterback? Kaepernick chose to kneel. The 49ers chose to lose, and it is as simple as that. After Kaepernick decided, roughly about this time last year, to kneel during the national anthem as a form of protest against police brutality, he himself is an African American. And in recent years, I don't know if he's began just letting it out or if he has been growing it, but the boy's got an afro. And I apologize for calling him boy. I know how loaded that term can be with respect to African Americans, and I don't mean to use it that way. But Kaepernick decided to start growing out his afro, and it freaked out white people everywhere. Oh my God, it's Malcolm X. Which, once again, nothing wrong with Malcolm X. But Malcolm X was one of those guys that freaked out white people because he set brush fires in the minds of young African-American men.
Let me ask you again about a lot of where the debate is about right now, because you hear it from the president, you certainly hear it from his cabinet, including Steve Mnuchin. I'm not sure we have that quote, but the Treasury Secretary went on TV this weekend and said, this isn't about race, it's about respect for the military and first responders. And when you kneel, you're disrespecting the military and first responders.
Part of what's happened is that sports and patriotism and the flag have been conflated to such an extent that people can't separate out any nuance. If you go to see Hamilton, which is about the founding of the Republic, no one says, wait a minute, don't raise the curtain until we hear the national anthem. When you went to see Private Ryan, no one said, turn off the projector, Saving Private Ryan. No one said, turn off the projector until we've had the national anthem. It's in sports where this stuff happens. Sometimes movingly, sometimes I'd submit cynically, because wrapping yourself in the flag and honoring the military is something which no one is going to object to. We all respect their sacrifice. We all honor their sacrifice. And yet, what it has come to mean is that the flag is primarily and only about the military. This is no disrespect to the military. It's a huge part of the narrative. But Martin Luther King was a patriot. Susan B. Anthony was a patriot. Dissidents are patriots. School teachers and social workers are patriots. And yet at Yankee Stadium, if we can shift sports, not only do they play the national anthem before the game, but they play God Bless America at the seventh inning stretch 81 times a year at home games. And in every case, they say, please rise as the Yankees honor a military guest. I have no problem with that. I stand every time I'm in the ballpark, no matter what it is, I stand. And I certainly respect the military person they bring out there. But there's never a school teacher. There's never a social worker. Patriotism comes in many forms. And what has happened is that it's been conflated with kind of a bumper sticker kind of flag waving and with the military only, so that people cannot see that in his own way, Colin Kaepernick, however imperfectly, is doing a patriotic thing. And so, too, are some of these other players.
Costas was absolutely, that's Bob Costas. He was absolutely brilliant in this previous week. One of the things that has happened to us through another kind of conditioning, which is the deification of the military. And that's the only thing that's considered patriotic is serving in the military. It's not necessarily considered patriotic if you yourself decide to run for Congress and you decide to listen to what your constituents want and not what your donors want. That's not really considered patriotism. If you serve your fellow man, that's not necessarily considered patriotism. As Costas was mentioning there, if you're a teacher, that's not considered patriotism. As a matter of fact, if you listen to conservative talk radio, conservative media, they are slamming teachers all the time. There's an article that came out in the Washington Post recently about how many college professors, adjunct college professors that do not have full-time jobs are having to either go on public assistance or in some cases go into prostitution. If you'd like to look it up before next week's show, you can. And if not, then I'm going to go ahead and cover that on next week's show because that is insane. And it's not just them. Even with the folks that we do consider patriots, which are people that serve in the military and only people that serve in the military, we still don't treat them very well either. They are not paid a great wage, and they are forced to go back again and again and again and again for our useless, pointless, and expensive wars. What's happening on the fields of America on Sundays right now, which is when most football games are, is something that has only been happening less than a decade. There's quite a few stories going around. The best one I've seen probably pins it at about 2009. Bush's wars had wore down America. Like 5-6 years in Iraq and Afghanistan, getting no results. Doesn't look like they're going to end. Doesn't look like we're going to be able to come out of those wars. And we needed a recruiting tool. How are we going to get people feel patriotic? How are we going to be able to recruit people? How are we going to get people out there that are going to want to fight and die in these rich men's wars? You don't notice it, but there is rampant, rampant conditioning going on around you. One of the first people to speak out was Chris Kyle's wife. Chris Kyle is a hero to the right. Chris Kyle was an Army sniper, and it's like 150, 160 confirmed sniper kills that he has, and the snipers are pretty elite. One shot, one kill. There's a sniper, my dad's girlfriend, her son is a sniper, and he's not allowed to talk about what he does, but it goes like this. They have intelligence that tells them where a certain person is going to be. They get out there. They wait for that person. They could sometimes be waiting days. One shot, one kill, you know, just like you see assassins in the movies, and they fold up and they're gone. They got to get the hell out of there. And then they generally get to come home after that. They're only sent out on these very special missions. I don't remember how many kills Chris Kyle has, but it's definitely over 100. So scrap the 150, 160 number. I don't remember which one it is, but it's definitely over 100. And so, and he got killed during a military exercise back home. But he killed a lot of people. No judge, no jury, no trial, no no peers judging you. I mean, nothing. Just go out there, kill this guy. Kill. Instant. Boom. Conservative hero. And a movie was made about him called American Sniper. And his wife is now a celebrity. And she holds all of his same views. And she came out against the NFL. Oh my God, the NFL is separating America. When who's really separating America is, of course, President David Duke. But she is as conservative as her husband was. Now, it's hard to say where he would be if he were alive. So we're not going to put words in a dead man's mouth, although I kind of just did. But movies like American Sniper that deify not just the military, but these really elite killers. Think about SEAL Team 6. Everyone knows who SEAL Team 6 is. Why? Because SEAL Team 6, they killed Bin Laden. Black Hawk Down. Everybody knows Black Hawk Down. This is this generation's war movies that glorify war. And we're not talking about movies like Platoon or Casualties of War. I saw the movie Casualties of War with Michael J. Fox as a young man, and it was all hurt, no glory. These guys go in there, they're killing these people, and that wasn't the objective, but war is hell. They end up taking a woman as a sex slave, and they rape her in the field, and it's a horrible, horrible. But those aren't the kind of movies we're seeing. We're seeing these rah-rah, red, white, and blue, and nobody thinks anything about it. Oh, look, it's another movie about our brave men and women in the military. And they are. They're brave. Because the reason they sign up, the reason they decide to run towards the danger, while the rest of us are running away from the danger, is no different than, say, our police or our firefighters, you know, who also need to be honored. So they sign up for a good reason. Nobody's got a problem with them. But we do have a problem with the policy. But we're not talking about the policy. We're talking about the flag and the military and the disrespect. Which is not at all what it is. When Colin Kaepernick decided to take a knee, he didn't have a problem with the flag. He didn't have a problem with the national anthem, which I do, because Francis Scott Key's a hardcore racist. I don't like the national anthem. I think our national anthem should change. I think it should be this land is your land, this land is my land. That sounds to me like an inclusive song. You go into the second and third verse of our national anthem, it's pretty damn racist. But that wasn't what Colin Kaepernick was standing up for. He stood up against oppression, against the murder of unarmed African-American men and women who are being murdered by the police and getting away with it. That's the problem. That's the question that should have been asked. That's the discussion that should have been had. But instead, what was the discussion that was had?
He hates America. He hates the national anthem. He hates white people.
And he became the most hated figure in the NFL front offices. One of the things that I saw during last Sunday's games was that the team owners, even the team owners, were willing to stand up. Stand up for, because, you know, now Kaepernick went out there alone. Right? Took the knee alone. A few other folks took a look at him. Person here, person there. They too took a knee. And then Colin Kaepernick is run out of the game. A year later, there are hundreds that decide to take a knee. And the team owners stand out there with them. And that's interesting about the team owners, because they are probably the biggest hypocrites in this entire show of patriotism. And that's what it is. Whether you like it or not, it is a show of patriotism. Now remember, there's a huge humanitarian crisis that President Donald Trump isn't responding to in Puerto Rico. And he probably doesn't realize that those are Americans. That's an American territory. And that shouldn't surprise anybody, because he didn't think that Hawaii was a part of America either.
What? President Obama's born in Hawaii? That's not America.
And that was his shtick for a long time, which is a white supremacist thing, obviously. So, quoting here from Sean King, 19 teams had about 200 players who participated in protests of some kind, who took a knee or took a seat during the national anthem, or who didn't even come out on the field at all. But here's the thing. What Trump said about the NFL players who take a knee during the national anthem was hardly different from what NFL owners have not only said, but have actually done to Kaepernick. See, the owners, they appear to be standing with the people now, standing with their players now. But they haven't always been. And that's not being discussed. The team executives have been public about their feelings, though only while hiding behind a cloak of anonymity. Mike Freeman of the sports site The Bleacher Report has been reporting on the intense hatred. Get that word. Intense hatred. That has been happening among NFL team front office employees. One general manager told Freeman of Kaepernick that he estimated a clear majority of NFL front offices genuinely hate him and cannot stand what he did. Kneeling during the national anthem. They want nothing to do with him. They won't move on. The same general manager went on to say that many of the team's executives were afraid to put Kaepernick on their team roster because Trump will tweet about the team. Another front office executive called Kaepernick a traitor. Another said he has no respect for the country, adding, F that guy. One general manager summed up the feeling among NFL team executives. In my career, I've never seen a guy so hated as Colin Kaepernick is hated now. All seven team executives interviewed by Freeman for One Piece said they believe 90 to 95% of NFL front offices agreed with their harsh takes on Kaepernick. One even said Kaepernick was the most hated player since Ray Carruth, who is still in prison for plotting to murder his pregnant girlfriend. Many of the comments came a year ago, and some of those comments even came as recently as this spring.
I've never claimed he's really an ally of the alt-right. It's a bit more complicated than that. But what is the statement today was more kumbaya nonsense. You can say racism is evil. We should all love one another. The sun should always shine 7 days a week. Everyone should be above average. Everyone should be a wonderful athlete. Everyone should love each other. It's just silliness.
What did you have? Do you have any?
It's not serious, and I don't think anyone takes it seriously, including the president.
It's more complicated than an ally. Obviously, you know, the alt-right has come so far in the past 2 years in terms of public exposure. Is Donald Trump one of the major causes of that? Of course. It coincided almost exactly with his announcement to run. Because we saw, and this is why it happened, because why it happened is important. We saw in Donald Trump someone who wasn't a conservative. Donald Trump never talked about tax, or at least during the campaign. He never talked about tax cuts. He never talked about all these, you know, he was not all this just kind of conservative garbage that we've been hearing for years. He talked about immigration first and foremost. He was a nationalist. He used phrases like America first. Donald Trump is not alt-right. Donald Trump is not an identitarian. But we were connected with Donald Trump on this kind of psychic level, where Donald Trump was a nationalist. He was the first true, authentic nationalist in my lifetime.
So that's Richard Spencer talking about their new supreme leader, Donald Trump, who is now your president, and also giving us a little bit of insight into exactly what white supremacy is, what it looks like, what it sounds like, how Donald Trump himself is playing from the book of white supremacy. Thug, inner city, urban, ghetto, Oreo, uppity, you people. These words are specifically associated with African Americans more often than not. God, the word Oreo really only should be a cookie. It is to me. But there's another word that gets thrown around a lot. The word ungrateful. With so many protests that happened this last Sunday, there were more than a few white people that were willing to throw out the word ungrateful. My God, they're so ungrateful. Look at them down there taking their knee when we're... get to work! We paid you to work and you're gonna get to work! There was a time African Americans were forced to work, compelled to work, told that they're gonna work or they're gonna be killed or they're gonna be sent up to the river where some redneck is gonna, well, break down that uppity Negro. And that's the kind of language that white people are used to using when it comes to African Americans. Get to work! And that's all they want now. What are some of the words that were said? Some of the things I heard. Why can't we just get back to playing football? Why can't they? When's it gonna just be football again? When will it just... Why can't it only be football? Because African Americans are being slaughtered. They're not being treated as equals. They're being pulled over in much higher numbers than white people. They don't commit more crimes than white people, but they're being singled out, being treated very differently once they are confronted by police. And everybody just wants to pretend that this isn't a thing. Right? Like that guy that I work with that goes, well, if he got convicted, he clearly did something wrong. It's super easy for white people to say. On one of the shows I heard this week, which is not generally a political show, it's some sort of morning zoo show. There's a gentleman named Charlemagne the God that runs the whole thing. African American, obviously. And he said something about it this week where he says, yes, I'm with the people that kneeled and we need to do something about these African Americans getting killed by these officers. And it was just a string of white people calling up to say, oh, what is it with you guys? When can't just be football? When are we going to get our game back? Why do you got to do this? Why can't... Okay, all right. You can't protest in the streets because that's not cool. White people don't like seeing that. Stop protesting in the streets. Fine. Well, then I'll quietly protest. No, no, no. You can't quietly protest either. You can't quietly protest. Why? Well, because football is the wrong venue. I don't know. It's in front of millions of people. And it's one of those things that crosses all political lines. I know progressives that love football. I know conservatives that love football. And it seems to me that if you're going to bring out something political, like the national anthem, and there's all kinds of barbs connected to that, if you're going to force that during a game, as that clip I played earlier said, we don't play the national anthem before movies. You know, we don't generally play the national anthem before baseball games. We'll play the national anthem before you go sledding down a hill. It's not like it's for every damn thing, but somehow it ended up in football. So if you're going to have that kind of a thing in football, and these guys decide to take a knee, not violently protest, not throw things around, not hold up signs that say kill Whitey, but decide to protest, quietly protest, just and hoping that people will look up the reason why they're protesting and go, oh my God, black people are being murdered in the streets of America, the bastion of freedom, America. White people being murdered, or black people being murdered. We need to do something about that. Get these gentlemen up off their knees and let's do something about that. But instead, what happened? Oh my God, those Negroes are so ungrateful. How dare they? This from Zeba Blay over at HuffPo, written just a few days ago. She's an African-American. In mid-August, the president implied that some of the Nazis who marched in the name of white supremacy in Charlottesville were very fine people. 1 month later, he declares that black athletes who protest white supremacy are sons of bitches. There's an obvious disconnect in the way many people in this country who have commended President Trump's tweets view the freedoms to come with the First Amendment. Nazis and white supremacists deserve freedom of speech, but black athletes who peacefully protest deserve derision, ridicule, and the loss of their livelihoods. On September 23rd, radio host Joe Walsh tweeted about Stevie Wonder, who also took a knee during a performance in protest of police brutality. He described the musical icon as another ungrateful black millionaire. Hey, we let you be rich. We bought white people, even white people bought your music. And you're so ungrateful. You could be poor just like the rest of those Negroes if you don't get back to playing music and stop protesting. That's what you're hearing. They won't say it explicitly, but that's where a lot of white people are at on this. So one question. If successful black performers and athletes who are protesting are ungrateful, what or who exactly are they being ungrateful to? Are the millions of dollars, endorsement deals, and championship rings that they receive not earned payment for their hard and sometimes life-threatening work that they put into the field? Or is the payment something else, something more abstract, something unspoken but profound? Their success is not earned, but rather given, benevolently, by white kingmakers with the implicit understanding that in return for their success, they, whether it be the athletes or singers or actors or dancers or artists, must pretend that racism, and indeed race, does not factor into their identities at all. This kind of goes back to Kaepernick growing the Kaepernick growing the afro. And I remember when Beyonce's most recent album came out and she was throwing up the, you know, black power and all this other stuff. White people went, whoa, I like Beyonce, but what the hell is that? Well, Beyonce, I don't want to shock you here, but Beyonce is also black. The idea that black wealth and success should be a salve, a concession prize for the realities of racism is absurd, but all too common. Still quoting here. Black performers and athletes, from Eartha Kitt to Muhammad Ali to Beyonce to Jemele Hill, from Colin Kaepernick to LeBron James, have been warned to be grateful for their success and to stay quiet. To view the money and accomplishments that they've made as things that they've earned, but as a form of hush money. Black people in protest, be they rich or poor, famous or obscure, have always made the powers that be uncomfortable. Because to be black and to be conscious and to have a voice that flies in the face of white supremacy. As a result, while Nazis can be afforded the right to march freely and profoundly through American cities, It is conceivably never okay for black people to speak out against what they perceive as injustice or oppression. White Nazis!
Very fine people.
Black people who take a knee, you sons of bitches. And the KKK actually killed somebody. And there's still some very fine people.
Former 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick takes a knee during the national anthem in San Francisco last year. We noticed, but very few players joined him. Not many players seem to care. He can't get a job in the NFL now, and very few have said much about that either. But the president says he wants that peaceful protest to stop, says those players should be fired if they take a knee during the anthem, and calls those players a name I never thought I'd live long enough to hear a president say, and now everybody cares. Donald Trump has said he supports a peaceful protest because it's an American's right, but not this protest, and there's the problem. Any protest you don't agree with is a protest that should be stopped. Martin Luther King should have marched across a different bridge. Young black Americans should have gone to a different college and found a different lunch counter. And college kids in the 60s had no right to protest an immoral war. I served in the military during the Vietnam War, and my foot hurt too. But I've served anyway. My best friend in high school was killed in Vietnam, and Carol Meyer will be 18 years old forever, and he did not die so that you could decide who is a patriot and who loves America more. The young black athletes are not disrespecting America or the military by taking a knee during the anthem. They are respecting the best thing about America. It's a dog whistle to the racist among us to say otherwise. They and all of us should protest how black Americans are treated in this country. And if you don't think white privilege is a fact, you don't understand America. The comedian Chris Rock says it best. There's not a white man in America who would trade places with him, and he's rich. It has not gone unnoticed that Trump has spoken out against the Mexicans who want to come to America for a better life, against the Muslims, and now against the black athlete. But he says nothing for days about the white man who marched under a Nazi flag in Charlottesville, except to remind us there were good people there. And when he finally tried to say the right thing, not one of them was called an SOB or should be fired. We have white men in America who wave the Nazi flag and the Confederate flag, and he's concerned about taking a knee because it disrespects this flag. We use that flag to sell mattresses and beer. We wear it as a swimsuit. We wrap our bald heads in a flag bandana and stick it in our pants because we disrespect that flag every day. Maybe we all need to read the Constitution again. There has never been a better use of pen to paper. Our forefathers made freedom of speech the First Amendment. They listed 10, and not one of them says you have to stand during the anthem. And I think those men respected the country they fought for and founded a great deal more than the self-proclaimed patriots who are simply hypocrites because they want to deny the basic freedom of this great country, a country they supposedly value and cherish so much.
That's Dale Hansen out of Texas. I can't even imagine, and he's in Texas, can't even imagine the kinds of death threats that that guy gets, especially since his clips now go viral. I've played his clips any number of times on this show, and I will always play them in their entirety because the guy is effing brilliant. But I digress. There was one guy this week, Pittsburgh Steelers left tackle Alejandro Villanueva, and the pictures were everywhere. So the Steelers decided to stay in the locker room during the national anthem. Villanueva came out, stood there, put his hand over his heart, and looked to the sky and mouthed the words to the national anthem. And that's fine. If it's okay for them to kneel, it's okay for him to not kneel. But in that moment, he instantly became a conservative hero. The Steelers go out and they play their game. And before you know it, Villanueva has a number one selling jersey for the game even finishes. Whoa, 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 whoa. Now, for those of you that don't watch football, for those of you that, well, these jerseys are massively expensive. To spend $100 on a jersey, that's a bargain basement jersey. $150, $160, $200 or better. Yeah, Yeah, jerseys are not cheap. They're super expensive shirts. And you're paying that much money for a shirt that's got some other guy's name on the back. I've never bought one of these. I have a Timbers jersey, but it's not one of the ones that's got someone else's name on the back. I just like wearing the you feel like it's a part of your team. I mean, this is your tribe. You know, I'm into a little bit into football. I'm a Seahawks fan. into soccer. I'm a Timbers fan. And I got this shirt, and I wear it on game day, and a rah-rah for my team. It's a little tribal, but it's fun. You know, there can be fun parts about this. But the fact that his jersey just skyrocketed to the top just immediately is insane. And then this happened. He said during a press conference on Monday that wasn't his intention at all. Villanueva told reporters, quoting here from Think Progress, told reporters that after the team made their decision to remain in the locker room while the anthem was played, he asked quarterback Ben Roethlisberger if he could stand out front, but went out too far while the rest of the team remained back in the tunnel. And he said, "I made my teammates look bad, and that is my fault, and my fault only," Villanueva said. "We as a team tried to figure it out, but obviously I butchered it." Steelers player Alejandro Villanueva says he made a mistake standing for the national anthem without his team. He was praised by Fox and every right-wing conservative commentator. But then on Monday, before the jerseys even shipped out, so, you know, thousands or millions of conservatives went online. They're not even Steelers fans. They went online to get them a Villanueva jersey because they thought they had themselves a Chris Kyle. They thought they had themselves a Sean Hannity. They thought they had themselves a President David Duke. They thought they had a true American hero. And before the jerseys are even shipped out, this guy says, no, that wasn't my intention at all. That's not what I meant to do. I stayed too far out front. I stand with my teammates. They should be able to protest, take a knee or not take a knee, whatever they want to do. I imagine NFL.com or whoever sells these damn jerseys, I never bought one online, got thousands of calls from conservatives. "Don't you send me that blah, blah, blah jersey. I don't want it no more. He hates America." And that's what we're dealing with. That's how fickle it is. That's also how fast we go from love to hate. And it's that kind of attitude, that kind of volatility that leads me to believe that what we are in right now is a low-level civil war. Sure, the guns and the missiles and all, they're not firing at one, we're not firing those at one another yet. But we have no problem. If you read the comment section anywhere on the internet, and I don't care if somebody posts a picture of their freaking kitten playing with a ball of yarn. You get far enough down in the comment section, you're going to see somebody praising Nazis. Or you're going to see somebody, you know, hating Jews. It's the hatred is everywhere. And it doesn't even matter if it's not a part of it. It instantly becomes a part of everything. And then everything is seen through a political lens. It's easy. And I mean real easy. To dismiss your fellow Americans if their views do not perfectly align with yours. I've said on this program any number of times, you and I don't care if you're a progressive or a conservative, you're black, you're white, you're man, you're woman, you're trans, you're gay, you're straight, it doesn't matter. You and I, if you are a working person, and I imagine anybody within the sound of my voice right now, you work for a living. If you are a working person and you're within the sound of my voice, you and I have the same economic interests. We disagree on the means of getting there, but you and I have the same economic interests. We want the same things. We want a secure job. We want a secure home. You know, we want secure in our possessions. We want to make a fair wage. We want health care. We want food. We want clean air and clean water. We want to be able to raise our kids in a good environment. We want all of the same stuff. I think that more power should be handed to the people. You as a conservative, you do too. But you believe the way you give power to people is by stripping them of their power, which is government. That's what it is. Government is power to the people. Stripping people of that power and giving it to a handful of billionaires because they're the masters of the universe. They'll make all the best decisions. So you and I, Mr. Conservative, we have this small disagreement, but I believe that you and I, if we talk to one another, and we talk to one another as human beings, you and I could work this out. You and I could figure this out. But battle lines have been drawn, and it's the Confederates versus really everybody else. If you're marching with the Confederate flag, you're not waving America's flag. You don't get to wave them together. You're marching with the Nazi flag. You're not waving America's flag, and you don't get to wave them together, although there are some that do. And I see shock and horror right now from people. Man, these Nazis, where'd they come from? All of a sudden, it's Nazis overnight. Nazis, they're not overnight. They've been under a rock, by and large, that's for sure. They'd come out at election time, they'd throw around their white power symbols, and then they'd go back under their rock. We got a black president. Uh-oh, four more years for us. But they came out because they got a signal from the Grand Wizard himself.
Yeah, it's good. I just think that sometimes we act as if the only thing that matters here are the words and the language that you say something. That's very, very important. But there is a policy implication that we haven't talked about enough, which is that you have an administration that, when it comes to counterterrorism, has been reported is moving its resources away from these white supremacist hate groups and focusing solely or almost exclusively on radical Islam. So it's not just that you have a president who kind of forgets to point out terrorism when it's white nationalist groups. You have him at a policy level taking his eyes off of these haters, taking his eyes off of these murderers, taking his eyes off of the oldest terrorist groups in the country. The oldest terrorist group is not ISIS. The oldest terrorist group in the world, certainly in the United States, is the Ku Klux Klan. And there's a policy now to take the eyes of the federal government off of these people. So that's part of why you have so much concern. If you say, look, I'm not going to call you a terrorist, I'm not going to say white supremacist, I'm not going to say neo-Nazi, I'm not going to mention your name, I'm not going to call you a thug, I'm not going to do anything, and I'm going to move the eyes of law enforcement off of you, you are beginning to send signals that this kind of stuff is okay at a policy level as well as a rhetorical level, and that is dangerous in America. I am very proud that the Republicans have done an extraordinary job today of coming out. Donald Trump is actually away from his party with now Putin, apparently, with white supremacists. These are the kinds of things that begin to worry people, and I think Donald Trump's White House needs to take a strong look at his positioning and get him back with his party and his country.
But our eyes have been taken off of all those things. And instead, what our eyes have been shifted to is this is disrespect of the American flag. The American flag. Seems to me the American flag stands for, well, freedom. Freedom to stand, freedom to kneel, freedom to sit, freedom to spit, freedom to swear, freedom to, as long as you're not violating other people's freedoms. You know, you don't get to kill people and rape people. That stuff is still bad. Even freedom has reasonable limits. But what they're throwing out, because they don't want to talk about the oppression of African Americans. They don't want to talk about the racism in the country. They don't want to talk about white supremacists. They don't want to talk about the fact that David Duke is president. So what they do talk about, you're disrespecting the flag. I remember back in 2002 or 2003, I was watching the Super Bowl with my dad, and Kid Rock played. And he cut a hole in an American flag and wore it as a poncho, which is super strange. And I go, whatever, mindless nationalism, turn my head. My dad was livid. Oh my God, that's disrespect for the American flag. But for some reason, amongst conservatives, definitely amongst Fox News viewers, Fox News themselves, that wasn't seen as disrespectful. And it seems to me that these patriots, these so-called patriots, they have no idea about the flag code of their own country. So there was a viral Twitter thread that went around. Forgive me, I don't remember the name of the gentleman that sent it out. Shared it quite a few times. I ought to remember his name by now. I apologize about that. And he pointed out in the flag code things that are truly disrespectful of the flag. One, the American flag clothing. Quoting here, the flag should never be used as wearing apparel, bedding, or drapery. It should never be festooned, drawn up, nor drawn back, nor up in folds, but it should always be allowed to fall free. Think about all the American flag hoarding you see at Trump rallies alone. The flag should never be carried flat. There have been so many public appearances, right? Football games and all the rest, where they bring out the American flag and they carry it flat. They do it at the Super Bowl all the time. Drawing on the flag should never have placed upon it, nor on any part of it, nor attached to it, any mark, insignia, letter, word, figure, design, picture, drawing of any nature. You can buy flags online that have pictures of everything, including Trump's face on it, online. Disposable flag products, napkins, paper towels, plates, things of that nature. It should not be embroidered on such articles as cushions or handkerchiefs or the like, printed or otherwise impressed on paper napkins or boxes or anything that is designed for temporary use, because when you're done with it, you're throwing the flag away. No one thinks about that. Flag advertisements, like the kind you'll find on a can of Budweiser right now. Budweiser, the beer that renamed itself over the summer, America, though it's not even made in America anymore. The flag should never be used for advertising purposes in any manner whatsoever. Flag uniforms. No part of the flag should ever be used as a custom athletic uniform. However, a flag patch may be affixed to the uniform of military personnel, firemen, policemen, and members of patriotic organizations. So that stuff is okay. But all the other stuff the conservatives have been doing with the flag that is truly disrespectful and against the flag code, that stuff is okay. But if they take a knee while they're doing it, oh my God.
The reaction is so universal, including from prominent NFL owners who have supported and donated to Trump's campaign and to his inaugural committee.
Bob Kraft.
Across the board. And you have not heard a single person within the NFL raise a voice in support of what Trump said. Rex Ryan says he's appalled and now ashamed that he once introduced Trump at a rally in Buffalo, where he then was the coach. What's happened here is that what was already an issue raised primarily by Colin Kaepernick has expanded beyond the specific point that Kaepernick was trying to make, which is a very valid point, and now has become near universal disgust with the president's insulting remarks. To give him the extreme benefit of the doubt, you'd say he's insensitive to the racial implications to make comments like this at a rally in Alabama. All right. He likes cheap applause lines.
Which has no football team.
And he delivered them. Has no football. Well, unless
pro football team.
Yeah. They're rabid football fans down there. That's to give him the extreme benefit of the doubt. But do you want a president of the United States who, even if you're giving him the benefit of that doubt, is so tone deaf to the racial implications of this? 70% of the players in the NFL, roughly, are African-American. Virtually every player who knelt in the initial stages of this was black, and the initial impetus from it, or for it, came from Colin Kaepernick, and it was about police brutality and mistreatment of African-Americans. You can't separate those two things.
The immense disrespect towards President Obama during his time in office included, but was not limited to, burning pictures of him, hanging, burning effigies of him. There was one story, though, and I don't think most people know about it. And it's gone down the memory hole for most. And I'm among them, unfortunately. But I was reminded this week while I was doing some research for the show about the immense protest against President Obama. And this was not because President Obama got into office, started doing a bunch of things, started praising Nazis, and was tweeting all the time. No. This was because he had the audacity to show up to this particular office while he was black. And there was one gentleman, and I won't say his name, he's super old, he may have passed on by now, who decided the best way to protest the president. There were tons of people in the street, all conservatives, teabaggers, tea partiers, that were marching holding signs of Obama with a Hitler mustache. Now we have a guy that praises guys that wear Nazi armbands and carry Nazi flags and Confederate flags, and that's okay, but Obama was the real Hitler. And this guy decided to show that by hanging a Nazi flag outside of his own home.
This morning's rain almost kept the Stratford man from putting up his flags, but there was just enough sun for him to put out his American flag and his Nazi flag. News 8's Ken Pierce live in our New Haven newsroom with why This U.S. veteran is flying a swastika. Kent.
Yeah, Keith Josephson Cavage is not a Nazi. He says instead he is an American patriot, a veteran, in fact. He says America's president, President Obama, is becoming a dictator, and that is why he has made this controversial choice to fly the Nazi flag outside his Stratford home as a form of political protest. Josephson Cavage started flying some new flags on his Stratford house this week. U.S. flag, probably obvious reasons.
Yes, the country's flag, obviously, yeah.
And the Nazi flag, why?
Well, that I'm flying as a form of political protest against President Obama's policies and administration.
Well, I really don't feel that the flag should be flown. I mean, it's kind of anti-everybody.
John O'Grady lives across the street in a neighborhood where the stars and stripes are everywhere, but it's the one swastika that has people stopping to take pictures.
Well, my first assumption would not be that he's against Obama, that it would be that he's, against America and everybody else.
It's my constitutional right, and as all servicemen, I took an oath to defend the Constitution.
Yes, Sienkiewicz served 4 years in the Marine Corps. Neighbors apparently called the police about his flag, but the town attorney says there's nothing illegal about it. Sienkiewicz says he'll keep flying the Nazi flag until President Obama changes what he says are dictatorial policies. He cites the president's lack of answers about Benghazi and Fast and Furious and his policies on abortion. But again, like Hitler? I mean,
I never said he was like Hitler. Okay. Never said that at all. I never compared President Obama to Hitler. I'm just using the flag to make my protest to his policies.
Now, wait a minute.
So you might not agree with what he's doing, but the idea is there is nothing more American than having the right to express yourself, even if you were choosing to do so, using one of the most controversial symbols imaginable. Live in the New Haven newsroom, I'm Kent Pierce, News 8.
He decided to hang the Nazi flag. Why would you get Hitler from that? Clearly he's protesting Benghazi and Fast and Furious. Fast and Furious was Bush's program. No. It's Obama's. He clearly consumes a lot of right-wing media. What about Benghazi? All of these things, conspiracies pushed by the right, none of them true. And he hung a Nazi flag because this guy's a dictator. Now, Donald Trump goes out of his way to praise dictators all the time. Russian dictator Vladimir Putin, who's got this iron grip on power. And that's fine. That dictator is okay. Before pulling his wang out and measuring it up against the size of Kim Jong-un's, he referred to Kim Jong-un as a smart cookie. But that's okay, because the guy that's saying it, well, that guy's now white.
You have closet cleaning and long walks in the woods and playing with my dogs and yoga, alternate nostril breathing, which I highly recommend, trying to calm myself down and, my share of Chardonnay. It was a very hard transition. I really struggled. I couldn't feel, I couldn't think, I was just gobsmacked, wiped out.
Weeks passed, but she couldn't remain in seclusion forever.
You know, after the first of the year, I had a big decision to make. Was I going to go to the inauguration?
Well, defeated candidates don't necessarily show up.
No.
But you're a former first lady.
But I'm a former first lady, and former presidents and first ladies show up. It's part of the demonstration of the continuity of our government. And so there I was on the platform, feeling like an out-of-body experience. And then his speech, which was a cry from the white nationalist gut.
This American carnage stops.
What an opportunity to say, okay, I'm proud of my supporters, but I'm the president of all Americans. That's not what we heard at all.
And thus began the new era of white supremacy in America. The preceding clip that I just played, that's the way a grown-up sounds. I know it's been a little while since we've had one of those in the national spotlight. Hillary Clinton herself has decided to step into the spotlight and has begun talking about last year's election and has even opened up the possibility of contesting the results of that election based on Bob Mueller's findings. I don't anticipate that to happen. I think we're stuck with Trump until he decides to resign, which I don't think he'll go through an impeachment. I think he will opt for resignation, and he'll call it a victory, and he'll become a martyr for his white nationalist cause. And my larger point that I wanted to make sure to get out there today is we are sliding into this new era, this new civil war. And the numbers of people that think that secession sounds like a great idea is growing. And the Russians, every time they hear about a secessionist movement in America, whether it be Texas or California, they can't wait to jump in and help us divide up. You know, the breaking up the secession, the smaller the pieces, the better. And then they can just come in and America is theirs. And conservatives are all too happy to give them that. And you and I are fighting, whether it be online or it be in person or on the radio or the television, this civil war, which has not come to blows yet, which has not come to people getting killed yet. But there's a lot of arms on the conservative side, and they are just looking for a problem that they can solve by murdering a bunch of people. Remember, this is their answer for a tyrannical government. It's not to put non-tyrannical people in. It's to begin murdering people. And for those of us that are still paying attention, I need everyone to take a step back and assess what's really going on here, and to realize that your neighbor to your left or to your right, in front of you, behind you, online, or wherever it is, that is not your enemy. That is a fellow American. That is your countryman. And you and that person, whether you realize it or not, you're being turned against each other by the powers that be, by the white supremacists. You know, race isn't a real thing. But we're being turned against one another so that the upper class, the wealthy class, the donor class, the rich people, the 1%, so that they can have all the power, so that they can pick our pockets while we fight amongst each other about insanely stupid things. Next week, I want to get into slavery. It's not just the Confederate flag and racism and white supremacy that have made their unwelcome returns to America. Slavery itself has unfortunately also made a return to America. Yeah, I never thought I'd have to say that. Slavery, and not just America, but the world. And it's done so with the endorsement of Americans.
Well, what's wrong with slavery?
We'll have to get into that next week. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for being here on the Fire You Can't Put Out. The Fire You Can't Put Out. Our official home. TFYCPO.podbean.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TFYCPO. You can listen on the go. Just download the Podbean app at the iTunes Store or at the Google Play Store for Android users. Individual episodes are available for download at the iTunes Store or on Podbean. Just search for The Fire You Can't Put Out. There you can also subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Questions, comments, statement, a general statement or inquiry. You can email us at tfycpo@gmail.com. We work hard to not only inform and entertain, but also to keep an open dialogue with our growing listener base. So feel free to reach out to us. And as always, thank you for listening. We are The Fire You Can't Put Out, and we will prevail, rejecting austerity in favor of prosperity. Special thanks to Kevin for producing, and thank you for listening. This is Melvin, signing off. And now that I have woken you up, good morning.